Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, you might call this a swan song. Call it what you want. Lori Robichaud is with us today. She is the executive director of the York County Arts Council for just a matter of a few days because she's leaving us, and we thought we ought to sit down with her and talk about her experiences with the Arts Council and all that's been done. And I'm sorry that we're bringing you here a couple of days before all this is going
to
happen.
Well, that's okay. As I mentioned to the producer of the program, it's sort of like a bookend for me because the very first media interview I did 2 years ago was with you at the beginning of my tenure, and now I'm ending my tenure doing an interview with you.
There we go. All right. So tell everybody the Cliff Notes version of your background.
Mm-hmm. My background.
Yeah, your background.
All right. I grew up in northeastern Ohio, and I had an extraordinary theater experience in high school, and I had a great theater teacher, and I went to Ohio State, and I wanted to be a theater teacher, and folks said, well, that's nice, dear, but most public schools don't have arts programs that are significant, but maybe you can direct the high school play and teach English. And I said, nope, I don't want to do that. But I got a theater degree. I ended up starting my career with the Ohio Arts Council, which is the equivalent of the South Carolina Arts Commission. I went to graduate school at the Yale School of Drama and got a master's degree in theater management, and I've kind of worked all over the country. That's been sort of the highlight of my career. I started out doing only theater, then I wanted to broaden it to the arts. I've worked in Washington for Americans for the Arts, which is sort of the national organization that works with local arts councils. I had a brief foray in Broadway and Hollywood.
Whoa.
And when I came here, I was very interested in working with the local arts council. As I said, I worked at the national level, I worked at the state level, and I was always, you know, very curious about local arts councils. And the traditional Southeast is a place that I've lived in Kentucky and Texas, but not the real South. So I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity, a more racially diverse city, kind of a city on the upswing. Because, of course, when I came here, I was very entranced by the idea that the forgive me, the Carolina Panthers might be coming here. And
right, well.
Anyway.
It's still, a whole book in itself.
Still many, many lovely things about the area. And indeed, these 2 years I've thrown myself into the community, learned so much about it, got to participate in a bunch of wonderful activities. And I've said this in my many travels, every place has its cultural treasures. And I got to experience a lot of York counties the last 2 years.
Good for you. So you've been involved in a number of things, including the planning that's going on for the new Performing Arts Center.
Indeed, yes. The Arts Center at Fountain Park, I am on their board of directors, although I'm leaving them now, and I've been on the building committee. As I understand it, you know, because I've had to learn this history, I've only been here 2 years, that's something that a city of this size has really missed. Our performing arts groups use what's available, but typically high schools and college campuses, you know, their first priority is their own students. So it's been very hard to program around that and to find something of the right size. So I think we're looking at around a 500-seat facility, about $40 million, looking for investment from the state to help with that, as they've helped a number of cultural facilities across the state, and then raising from the private sector here in three counties. York County is the big one, but also Lancaster and Chester counties as well.
Very interesting. So you've been here 2 years.
Yes.
You know enough about what's going on. How would you grade us as a arts community? Would you give us an A, B, C, what?
I'm not sure I'm prepared to give a letter grade. Let me speak a little bit maybe to some of the strengths and some of the things that I see are challenges.
All right.
The strengths are, I think it's a very strong visual arts community, and that's helped by the Arts Council that we have studio artists can rent our studios at below market rates, and that's in our Center for the Arts building that we own, and also in the Tom S. Geddes Center, the old post office and courthouse building that the city owns and we manage for them. So I think that's a wonderful service to visual artists. And we have the extraordinary Dalton Gallery at the Center for the Arts, which is a fabulous exhibition space for visual artists. And that's certainly one of our strengths, that we put established artists usually in that space. Then we have a perimeter gallery for emerging artists, younger folks, maybe fresh out of Winthrop. And then we support student work in our Lewandowski downstairs gallery. For instance, right now we have the children's art show. All of the elementary schools in Rock Hill are there. And in our upstairs gallery, we've partnered with the Catawba Nation. So wow. I think a lot of people know about Catawba pottery that's been here for tens of thousands of years. And we look at that as well, but also what are their contemporary artists doing? What are they doing in basketry and beadwork and painting and the regalia? We have someone's regalia that's so artful and so beautiful.
I know you had Brandon Guffey's son's artwork down
we
there
did.
For a while.
That was trying to, you know, help, as Brandon Guffey did, put something positive on the very sad death of his son, who was took his own life because of a sexting extortion episode. And Brandon got the state legislature to put some teeth into some laws. And Governor McMaster came to the Center for the Arts to do a ceremonial signing in August. And part of the reason we were there is because Gavin Guffey, his son, wanted to be an art teacher, and he was an artist. So we put his work down in our lower student gallery for a week or so to help support that. And what Brandon and his family are doing, they have the Less Than Three Foundation, you know, to help support other young people from making the same mistakes his son had made.
Okay, so we know about the strengths. Now, what would you list as weaknesses?
Well, I think one of the challenges we have is the Arts Council's particular challenge, and it plays a role in my departure, and that's the funding for the sector for arts and culture and the Arts Council in particular. It's one of those where some of our funding from city and county has traditionally come from accommodations tax, which is great. When people come visit here, they pay something in hotels, but we're essentially asking visitors to pay for what we do, which is providing year-round services to residents. Right. So we'd certainly like to have City Council and County Council reconsider that sort of funding formula. So that's one piece of it. We were just caught in sort of a perfect storm this year. The County Council a couple of years ago dispensed with its hospitality tax funding. I believe they put it all towards the Catawba Bend recreation area. And that was $50,000 or $60,000 a year the Arts Council had been getting for 10 or so years. I think the Arts Council board, though, I don't think we fully understood that because it was happening right when COVID was happening, and we had emergency funding from the state and federal government coming in for that. So that's the biggest chunk, and also the accommodations tax part from the county was also reduced, and we were zeroed out this year, where we were encouraged to seek a little bit of funding from Visit York County, which is great, but not what we'd had before and not for the same things we'd had before.
So those reductions,
yes.
Accommodations tax from the city, same thing from the county, plus the county's elimination of the hospitality tax, that cost your budget roughly how many dollars?
I'm going to add, though, because there's a little piece of the state. We still get a nice general operating support grant from the State Arts Commission, but they also sunset their sub-granting program, which has been half of our small grants program for many years, maybe up to 20 years. That's where the perfect storm comes in. So it was county, city, and state a little bit. That's $70,000 or $80,000 a year annually, and that's what I don't know how to make that up in a short period of time, which is why the Arts Council is right-sizing to support two full-time employees instead of three, and I made the decision that it made the most sense for me to go. There was some personal information that helped lead that decision as well as my own circumstances, but that way the board can go forward with strategic planning based on what we think the income we can put in at this point in time.
So this is interesting that this all comes on the heels of a rather detailed study,
yes,
talking about the economic impact,
yes,
of the arts, which kind of paint a different picture than what your funding is.
Indeed. And this is a national study done by Americans for the Arts, for whom I used to work 20-some years ago. And it's a study that's done every 5 years. This past year, it was 7 years because of the pandemic, and still the pandemic has certainly impacted on the figures we're looking at. And what I will say is that study is what has been the most effective in working with the U.S. Congress for the appropriations for the federal cultural agencies like the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the Institute for Museum and Library Services. So it's national. Almost 400 communities around the country of varying sizes participated. States did. We've been a part of this study. I think this is the third time we've done it. And what it showed is that, and I want to be particular about this, it's nonprofit arts and cultural organizations and their audiences. So it's direct spending that people pay with us and what you spend, you know, if you're going out to dinner before you see a show, that kind of thing. So that annual economic impact in New York County is about $40 million, which is fairly impressive given that Charlotte is so close by. And you're still going to go to Charlotte for the Broadway touring shows at the Blumenthal. We don't have the space for that. But that we have enough of a robust community led by the Cultural and Heritage Museums, which are our big guys. But that's pretty impressive, and it's up from $27 million annually the last time we did this study.
That would be 5 years ago?
It was 7 years ago because, again, the pandemic delayed the study. Right. You didn't want to do the study in the height of the pandemic when everything was closed.
Gotcha. So we go from $27 million economic impact to $40 million, $40 million economic impact from 2017 over to 2023. That's a lot of money.
Well, it certainly suggests that there's an opportunity. And, of course, part of the reason we do this is to increase public investment, because it's still not, you know, huge amounts of money, but it does so much good. We leverage that money. The Arts Council itself, our budget was maybe a quarter of our budget came from those three sources. And we still get some from the city and some from the state. This year we're not getting anything from the county. But that's still, you know, it's worthy of public investment. And this data, there are many values to the arts. This shows some of the economic value. And the study also shows it supports nearly 700 jobs. And all of this money, some of it goes back into local, state, and federal tax revenue. I mean, we pay, all our employees pay taxes. So there's another $8 million that goes back into the economy in terms of leveraging tax dollars.
So this economic impact comes from things like the Blues and Jazz Festival.
That's right.
Where people buy tickets and go to restaurants and what have you.
Yep.
What other things would be on that list?
I think a lot of it is, I personally did some of our audience intercept surveys for the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yes.
And again, part of that is, a lot of this really comes from the performing arts in general, because we know the dinner and a show. Just for example, and I'm going to say this, there's probably more women than men. If I'm going to go to a performance night out, I might buy a new outfit or part of a new outfit. People might hire babysitters. You go out to dinner. You pay for your ticket. You go to the venue and enjoy the concert. You might go out. You might buy merchandise. You know, there's something there. Shirts. You might go out for a cocktail afterwards. You might pay to park. So all of those things feed into what's usually the local economy. And that's how we get that. So it's money to the organizations, but it's also ancillary money to the local community that supports that sort of thing. And dinner and a show is the best way to describe that, because that's what most people do.
So when did you get the word that all this was going to happen, that you were going to lose this funding and that funding and this?
Well, it comes over. As I said, the York County Council made the change in the hospitality tax a couple years ago before I even got here. But because our executive director had retired and we went a year without an executive director where the board stepped in, and we're in this, you know, middle of a major worldwide pandemic, and we're getting some emergency funding from the federal government and from the state government, I don't think people understood this. I think there might have been an assumption that the hospitality tax wasn't there because the community was shut down. That wasn't the case. So I had to do some digging. So it's really only the past year that we sort of figured that out, that that money wasn't coming back. Then the accommodations tax from the city, they have a committee that makes, is advisory to the city council. And for 2 years, we were in the high 40s, but the city council bumped it down to $35,000 because they're concerned that they wanted to have plenty of money to support the BMX International Championship next spring, which is, you know, obviously Rock Hill's done very well with sports tourism, and it's a real jewel in the crown. But, you know, we'd still like to support arts and culture as well. And again, we are providing services to the community year-round in a way that the one-off festivals and sports tourism aren't necessarily doing. They're bringing money into the hotel coffers, which is great, but it's not necessarily serving the community as much as the arts and cultural sector does. And then the state, as I said, you know, we got an email from the State Arts Commission saying we've been doing some strategic planning and we think these funds that we've been subgranting to seven communities can be better spent serving all the counties in the state. You know, all legitimate things. It has nothing to do with us and us doing anything wrong or badly. It's just it all kind of hit in different ways, kind of at the same time.
So losing whatever it is, $70,000 to $80,000 mm-hmm. of your budget. That what is that? About a third, or is it a half? What?
Well, our budget's kind of fluctuated between $350,000 and $450,000. This current year, about at $370,000. So, and what it is basically. It's people. You know, you can nickel and dime cutting expenses sure. and making up a little bit of money, but that's a big chunk of money to either cut out of a budget or to add in the course of one fiscal year. And last year, you know, I was directed by the board, you know, just try to get us back to pre-pandemic, bringing back our underexposed film festival for short films, which was wonderful. And, you know, having the staff to do all these activities. And we had to go into our reserve funds because all this stuff sort of was happening. And so that's why this year when I prepared the budget, you know, when $70,000 or $80,000, you're just talking about people.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
And so it made more sense for me to go.
Did your board mm-hmm. Reach out to members of the councils and say, hey, look what you're doing to us here?
I think I did that more so as the executive director. I made two presentations to the county council and the city council. I mean, part of this is trying to calibrate what might be most effective and at what time. I think we have supporters on city council, but we have the BMX International Championship, and I think a desire to make sure that all the funding that they needed to make that a very successful event was the prudent way to go. It's not like they didn't give us any funding. They just gave us less funding.
Gotcha. And that is a massive event. I mean,
absolutely.
It's huge.
I'm of a generation where sports to me are kind of football, basketball, and baseball. I had to like BMX, what? They're doing what on a bike? The Arts Council partnered with the city in 2017 to show art that was, you know, sure. using bicycle parts or having something to do with bikes. And we're working with them again. What can we do to partner with the city and do something there? That's still to be determined, but we've been talking with them. They took me out to the track, and, you know, it's awesome. It's wonderful.
Something. Yeah. All right, so the board could see the handwriting on the wall.
Yes.
And they basically said, we have to cut staff. We can't make this budget work. Is that how it worked?
Well, not really. I led them to that because I'm the one who prepares the budget, and I just didn't see any other way out of that. So that's what I presented to them, that, you know, it's a that chunk of money has to only be made up in people. And that's what I was looking at. And I'll just say as a personal aside, my personal circumstances, my rent had gone up nearly $400 a month, and I didn't want to get tied into another lease. And halfway through the year, when the fiscal year ends, have the board say, well, you know, we can't keep pulling out of our reserves. What are we going to do? I didn't want to find myself personally in that situation. And I also knew that my colleague, Melanie Cooper, who many people know, has been with the Arts Council for 11 years, was someone who is fully capable of jumping in. And she is going to be the interim executive director as the board works with her through strategic planning. And figuring out, you know, how can we still be very effective, but with two full-time staff. And we still have several part-time staff and some contractors to do the work, but it's not doing the film festival. As it's previously configured, we might do something that's, you know, a one-off with BMX, that's sports short films or something like that. But really looking at, and we don't have a small grants program anymore because the state pulled, you know, half the funding for that. And we didn't see how that could be made up. I think Rock Hill, one of its challenges is, as I understand it from history, is that we've not retained as much of private wealth that might have come from the mills in the way that, say, a Spartanburg has, in terms of the folks, you know, the families who do support and the businesses who do support the arts in town are lovely. There's just not enough of them.
Okay, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Lori Robichaud is with us today. She is the outgoing executive director of the York County Arts Council. In fact, your last day is when?
Friday.
Melanie Cooper is going to be taking over.
That's correct.
All right. And really, this is all boils down to, it's an economics, that between the cuts to the Arts Council's budget from various sources, city, county, state, the perfect storm, as you call it.
Yeah.
And then your own personal cost of rent going up the way it is.
Exactly.
You're going back to Ohio.
I am. That's where I'm from. My brother and I are going to prepare for sale and then sell the house we grew up in. So I have a free place to live and hopefully some money from that sale, at least in the short term.
Good for you. All right. So I don't want to paint a picture that arts is just dead
in Rock Hill because of this.
Because, I mean, there seems to be a lot going on, including all this conversation about the Performing Arts Center.
Exactly, and I think that's what I think is interesting, that my observation is, you know, the Arts Council for many years was sort of the only game in town beyond the cultural and heritage museums, because we're almost 50 years old. But in the last 5 years, at least, we've had the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra has come online. We now have a Poet Laureate in Rock Hill, and we have a Poet Laureate Committee, and Angelo Jeter, who's an extraordinarily fine poet, puts on this one-word poetry festival every year. The Women's Art Initiative is very concerned with public art in the city of Rock Hill. I'm a part of the Freedom Walkway Committee. That there's usually arts and cultural representation as we honor local heroes who are concerned with social justice. Christmasville has an arts component because we have the Vernon Grant Santas in our Center for the Arts space. And, of course, there's arts represented in all of our festivals. So there's all this activity. And then, of course, the Arts Center at Fountain Park, which is going to be the big guy on the block when it's up and running and having to do an annual fund. So what I'm saying is that needed to have good board members on all these organizations, and all these organizations need to do an annual fund where we ask individuals to support the work that we do, and usually have some sort of annual fundraising event, usually some sort of gala. So while there's more activity, my observation is the support, both public sector and private sector, hasn't quite caught up with that. And it's sort of the thing, if we want these nice things, we have to find ways to fund it.
So we got about 3 minutes left, and I'd like you to, I guess, pontificate a little bit.
Ah, and my favorite thing.
Yeah, I mean, talk to the audience about what we need to do to keep this ball rolling that you just described in terms about arts activity, because we obviously need to do more.
I think a lot of it is, you know, I've spent some time talking about the public sector. If it's important to you, talk to your member of city council and county council and your state legislators. We have eight state representatives and four senators who all have a piece of York County. So at the state level, they need to know every year when the State Arts Commission's budget is up, and if they're going to be asked to help support the new Arts Center at Fountain Park, they need to know that you think that's a good use of tax dollars. On the private sector side, again, if you own a business, small, medium, or large, you can put some money into events and get some publicity out of it, and that helps. It's a win-win. But if you're an individual, come to art exhibitions. Buy tickets to see plays and musicals and the ballet and the choral society. Buy tickets. Support them with your own dollars in their annual fund when they try to, you know, every year send you a letter or email. Support them that way, too. Help bring your kids, bring your grandkids, so that the next generations have the opportunity to enjoy the arts.
You know, I think I would also suggest that maybe those involved with the arts community need to do a better job in being out in front of telling people what your study shows here about this massive economic impact. You just can't tell them that once. You got to roll that into everything you're
doing.
That's
exactly right, Manning. And I think we call it arts advocacy. And it's really, it's about educating. Every year or two, we have public officials turn over. So it has to be ongoing and constant. And I think we now have some very good data. I just wrote my thank you letters to our state legislators for their support of the Arts Council through the Arts Commission. And with this one-pager that we've been talking about, saying, this is what you're investing in. This is really important. So it's an educational opportunity. We have to do that at all levels, city, county. Well, city, I know we have a new council member who I don't know, but he's someone who now needs to be educated. County council's had, you know, several new folks. So I think it's all of us, the staff, my leadership, I know how to do that and try to help with the boards. But you're right, your boards of directors have to be out there, and people who care about arts and culture need to let their elected representatives understand that.
There was a fellow in Rock Hill that you did not know by the name of John Harden. He's a former banker. John was a very charismatic, lively guy. And he used to say, thou that doesn't tooteth his own horn, his horn doesn't get tooteth.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go.
Well, listen, Lori, thank you so much. Good luck to you in Ohio. We'll miss you. Thank you for your 2 years of service here. And let us know what the Buckeyes are doing up there.
Oh, baby, you betcha.
And remember when you get buried in snow about how nice it is down here in
South Carolina.
I'll
come visit. Thank you, Manning.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk show, a program, I should say, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, one more time. What do we do here at Substation 2? Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Beside, look at Charlie Ruffalo, who does nothing. We have fresh subs and salads, and the way we do it, at the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.